let's talk to mechanics. Let's get the mechanics. Let's get them to understand what that all is. But then, how do you bring it to a golf course? How do you transition from the range to the golf course to scoring to what you want to do, whatever?
Correct. I mean,
Makes
how do you
sense.
get rid of those swing thoughts and just become an athlete out on
Yeah,
the field,
that's
right?
it. That's it. 100%. Yep. So that's where I'd like to go with this. Yep.
Get ready to take off with Dynamic Golf. All right. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to Dynamic Podcast. I am your co-host, Tim McElvanna. And with me today is Sean Klotz, as always. So good morning, Sean. How are you doing today, my man?
Doing great, T-Mac. Doing great. Enjoying this beautiful New England weather we got going on up here. So it's 25 and got a bunch of snow over the weekend. Get some ice. So you just got to figure out some different ways to kind of keep your mind occupied and hopefully get ready for, another 2 or 3 months down the road when we start playing golf on the course. But
So that's it's definitely a different time of season for you now. I mean, you're used to being in a go-go mode, being able to practice with relative ease when you need to get out, but now it's definitely more of a project and planning, I'm sure, for you now, isn't it?
T-Mac, you know what I miss? I miss putting. Like, I haven't putted in like a month. Like, I haven't hit a putt. I mean, and that was when I was down in Florida. Like, it's such a funny thing. Like, I just, we've been known each other for a bunch of years, and I just enjoy going out and chipping and putting, and that's kind of a therapy, realistically, for me. It always has been. Put the headphones on and go listen to some music, and kind of get away from the world for a half an hour, and then come back into it. So it's just changing. You can, you know, we can. Been trying to kind of work on my body, going to the gym a little more, trying to work on some core stuff, which is always big for golfers. They should always be, core and flexibility. I know you've really transformed your body over the last 2 years. Like, you did it through nutrition too. Like, what's kind of some of your feedback from what you've accomplished over the last 2 to 3 years?
So I mean, as far as what I've done in the last 2 years, I've dropped probably about 30 to 35 pounds, somewhere around in that area. And to be honest with you, to all of our listeners out there, if you are overweight a little bit and you lose a little bit of weight, the big thing I found is I've got energy in the last part of the round. You
There you
know, the last part of
go.
the nine, I'm still energized. I could still go, but before, when I was overweight, by the time I got to hole number 12, I was looking for the clubhouse. So I think that's the big thing. The big transformation for me is that I have energy at the end of the round to complete it.
And you're like, what, how tall are you? 5'8", 5'7"?
Oh God, you're so kind. I'm about
I was trying to be nice. I was trying to be nice.
five,
But
five,
the
five,
point is,
six.
like, the point is being 5'5", 5'6", 5'7", like, you putting on 10 to 15 extra pounds and me putting on 10 to 15 extra pounds at 6'2", a little different. So you can feel it a little more when you start adding weight to your body frame. We can almost kind of get away with it, but then you still see the little, donut around your stomach and kind of the, side handles and stuff. And you're like, you know what? And again, it's kind of the blessing and the curse of living up here this winter. I've got so much free time. So, yesterday it's Sunday, it's 11 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to sit in the house for the next 6 hours or 8 hours. I know I'm probably going to watch some sports at the end of the day. Let me just go. And good friend of mine that I worked with, she's like a younger girl. She's like, Sean, I don't care if you go for 15, 20 minutes. At least you go. And then when you get there and you do start doing whatever it is you're doing, you look at the clock and it's 45 minutes, an hour into it, and you do feel better. Like you said, you feel better after a workout, period. It's
Absolutely.
kind of the getting there process is the part of, like,
Getting up, getting into the gym, that first 5 minutes on the treadmill, you're kind of like, God, I could be doing something else. I'd rather have a cup of coffee in my hand or anything else. But about after the 5 minute, 6 minute mark, you're kind of like, I'm kind of getting into it. My body's liking it, And then you're right, about 45 minutes goes by and you feel, ready for the day, not so grumpy.
I love how our time, like, we had a topic today. We'll get to our topic, but I love how we don't really kind of stay on topic sometimes. That's a good thing with us. So to that point a little bit, like, so my normal sort of now routine, I'm still looking for the best one, is I spend the first 15 to 20 minutes on the mat, right? I'm stretching. I am doing as much as I can. mini yoga moves, whatever it is, like a lot of like kind of lunges, a lot of trying to keep my hamstrings loose and doing a lot of butterfly motions, just anything you can do to kind of keep your back, your hamstrings, your core, because then you're going to start working on some core, some sit-ups or some however you do your core muscle things. But I just feel like, and it's funny, T-Mac, I didn't go for like the last 6 days prior to Saturday. So I had a little lull there, getting a little whatever, just kind of wintertime blues, we'll call it. And then I'm like, you know what? My body's tight. I don't feel good. Like on Saturday afternoon, I'm like, why do I not feel good? I feel like my body's so tight. Guess what? I've been watching TV, sports, eating a little too much over the last week. And just in 2 days, going back and stretching and feeling that part of it, already I feel better, up and out of the house. I went to the gym this morning at 7. So I just, it is part of what you said. Like you gotta go. You gotta just, I know sometimes we preach on this thing, but we're only trying to get you guys better and get you to your best performance. So,
Absolutely. Absolutely. We want you to be
yeah.
out there and enjoying the game as much as possible. That's why we're here
That's
doing
it.
this, right?
No, that's it. I mean, we love talking to each other. We'd like to keep, like we always talk about trying to get some feedback from you guys, get some answers, some questions from you guys. We'll continue as the year goes on. We'll start trying to get some more guests again. I think today we got a really good topic of, and you brought it up, like you're watching the tour event this week and you texted me like, hey, let's talk about swing playing. It's kind of a misunderstood concept from a lot of people. So let's just kind of delve into that. I think that's a great one. So.
I think a lot of people, as you said, kind of have the misnomer about swing plane or really don't have the idea. I think a lot of people get lost when they watch YouTube of, rotation, pressure points, getting the club either across the line or laid off or down the line. And I think a lot of people kind of, forget that everything starts in the beginning. And if we can get our hands and arms on the right plane to start off with, a lot of good things happen that just naturally start to happen automatically.
So, what do you mean? Do you mean like alignment of shoulders type of stuff? What do you mean by that? I think you're right. What do you mean?
So what I've been doing with a lot of my students is I've got them on a swing plane board. I went out and built myself a swing plane board for about $20 at Home Depot. I'm going to send a video on out to everybody how to build one of those. The big thing is getting my students to understand that they don't need to whip the club inside, which I guarantee you 99% of our listeners are probably doing already. And then once they get that club riding on out there, they're able to get that club, what you hear a lot of tour players say, getting the club out in front of them, right? You've always heard Tiger saying getting stuck and all that. And that really starts with your hand path or your swing plane on the start, right? If your hands get into the inside, that circle that we're trying to create, has now become not a circle, and you have to get back onto that circle somehow, some way. And when people start talking about, hey, I want to be consistent, right? I'd say, you need to start working on, the start of the swing plane, getting your hands out and away from you and not getting them sucked to the inside.
I totally agree with all that. And again, it's cool to see how you have some different approaches, and that's why we talk about this. So my big thing at the beginning, and it's pre-shot, so I always try to teach my lessons and pre-shot lessons and during the swing left turn during the swing thoughts. So pre-shot, you can have 5 or 6 pre-shot swing thoughts, because it could be, where's your left foot in relationship to your right foot? What's your right hand doing on the club? Like there's so many, like how's the grip? What's the pressure in your grip? How's the feel of your left shoulder in relationship to your right shoulder? Where's the weight shift in your body? And but that's all stuff that's done before you make a swing. So yes, it's a checklist, but the during the go you're trying to minimize what's going to happen during the swing. So you're so right. If you set up correctly, and again, it's a podcast, it's a little hard to kind of demonstrate what that exactly means. I would say that there are probably plenty of YouTube videos on alignment. I know that honestly, I have one from 2011 out there. Under Sean Klotz YouTube type of thing. I got a cowboy hat on, the Brantley's Brantley Smith cowboy hat.
Oh, you know? I'll go find that and put it on Dynamic Golf. Oh, yeah. I'll get that classic thing back for sure.
Yeah, I got the alignment about 10 pounds lighter. But anyways, but you know, the key fundamentals for me are what you just said, kind of basically like your feet, everything starts from the ground in my world. Everything mm-hmm. starts from the ground. You mm-hmm. got to have your feet parallel left of the target line.
Yep.
If you don't know what that means, go look it up. We can't explain every single one. We don't want to bore, you know, parallel left of your target.
Mm-hmm.
And then your hips and your shoulders, they very simply match your feet. If you want to try to start working on a draw, you would have your left foot in front of your right foot a little bit, so you got a closed stance is what we call it.
Correct. For those baseball players out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you put the left hip in the same position the left shoulder is outside of the left foot. And then you put your left shoulder in the same position your left hip is, which is in the same position your left foot. Everything is slightly closed to the right of the starting line of the golf ball. And just that change. And then if you want to throw in grip, if you want to throw in a kind of a stronger right hand, which means the right hand's a little bit under the club instead of sort of on top of the club.
Mm-hmm.
You've already preset yourself up to make some type of either push shot. It's going to go to the right. Or mm-hmm. if we can get the club face to rotate through impact, we might get a little draw.
So what you're talking about is getting their swing path correct, right?
Yeah. I mean, so T-Mac, what is the number one swing path fault that we see with our amateur golfers? What do they do? Do they go one way or the other? There's two options.
Over the top.
That's correct.
Yeah, to the left.
And they know it, right? And they hear, they kind of know what they're like, oh, I'm swinging over the top, or I'm swinging, they don't necessarily say outside in, but they're usually, I'm coming over it is kind of the term mm-hmm. I hear a lot, right? Or I'm over the top. And they're right. They're right. They don't know how to fix it, but they're right. And that's, you know, what we see on video and even, you know, again, luckily we don't need to see. It's great that we have video, but we don't need to see it because you see so many swings.
Yeah.
So from the top of their backswing, when their hands at the top of their backswing start going towards the golf ball is the best way to describe it through a podcast form.
Mm-hmm.
When their hands start going towards their, you know, their left shoulder instead of the right elbow dropping down and the hands going downwards or actually even almost a little bit backwards, you know, they don't go forward from the top of the swing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go with T-Mac. I'm going to say that I think the best way to describe all that to somebody who's trying to picture this and vision this on a podcast form, please take the club to the top of your backswing. I don't care. You're at your desk. Get up. Put a pen in your hand. I don't care. You don't need a golf club.
Yeah.
Put something in your hand. Go to the top of your backswing. Start your downswing move. If you feel pressure going to your toes, you're coming over the top.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
If you feel pressure going towards your toes from the top of your backswing, you are doing something to come over the top, creating some type of outside inside swing path, and you're going to be set up to either pull it or the more commonality that we see is the slice. You know, we love fades. Fades are great. We have no problem with fades.
Yeah.
We have problems with slices.
Correct.
Slices and weak cuts. That's where we have problems. So.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we try to set this up. Okay. We're just going to talk about swing path, but they all interrelate.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, swing plane to swing path. And then, you know, you go further on down the line, then it's face to angle. And it comes back to what you started with. If we don't have a good setup on the ground, right, then we can't get our hands and body in the right position. And then we can't get the path go down the line. And then we can't exit through. So, you know, I think the big thing is that you are correct. You've got to start at the most basic level. And for a lot of our students, they don't want to start there. They want to just get right on into what it is.
Right.
And it's I've got to work on the base, right? And then figure out what the plane is, what the path is, what the face is. And then you find out what you're holding your structure at the end, right? Maintaining your structure. Yeah. But you're absolutely right. So once you feel that balance going towards your toes, the hands are going out and away from you, and it's lost city.
It's you can't fix it if you've already set yourself up for failure, for lack of it, for almost like the business term, right? Mm-hmm. If you set yourself up for failure, if your left hip and left toe are open compared to your right hip and right toe, and your grip is, weak, meaning the right hand's on top of the club, and you're doing everything you can on YouTube trying to get your inside to outside path.
Yeah.
But if you set up that way and set up for the club face to already be open at impact, that's going to be the result. So
Correct.
the basics are so basic and so fundamental and so overly looked. It's crazy, crazy how much like ball position, like, so, basically I've got a member coming in. He's about a 10 handicap. Ball position is two balls too far forward to the left.
Okay.
Right. And his miss is a fade.
Ah.
And I say, well, hey, we got to move the 7 iron in the middle of the stance. No, that's where I've always played it. That is the first one of the things we get right is that is the middle.
Yes.
No,
And
that's not the middle.
put a couple of
Let's
alignment
get it.
rods down, right?
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Don't move. Don't move. Don't fidget. And then you show them that you're like, okay, well, if you've got the ball too far forward, that is going to lead to that outside to inside path. Because the club is bottomed out already and you're already swinging left. It's just a physics type of thing.
Yeah.
It's again, even as an instructor, like we want to fix you. We want to help you. We want it to be, not instantly gratifying. That's not the right term, but we want to get you positive quickly.
Yeah.
So we kind of go down the little rabbit hole sometimes of, and that's part of our job is like, okay, there's eight things wrong with this gentleman, this lady, whatever. Can't give him eight. I got to give him the top two because that's really they're going to see something when they hit something with the top two.
Yeah.
Had another customer on Saturday. I actually went to my brother's indoor facility in Boston. So it
Okay.
was kind of cool teaching at a different place there. And T-Mac, I worked with this guy for 10 minutes on outside, inside swing path, and he's still fading it. And I'm always down the line. I'm down the line. I'm behind him taking video.
Yeah.
And then I just happen to walk face on and I look at his club face and it's 3 degrees open at address.
Right.
Basics, right?
Yes.
Right? Just the basics. I'm like, Mick, I said, hey, can we get that thing closed and he or square? And then he squares it up and he thinks it's closed. And then he hits the next three balls left. I'm like, it's not even closed. Like you know what we think and what we see and all that stuff
Yes.
is so anyways,
It's amazing, just the little observations, and this is why I tell people to go get a lesson. Don't, YouTube is a great source for certain things, but go get a lesson. See, that guy, I mean, just to bring up the same point, I had a guy just the other day, came in with a driver, couldn't get any loft on it. And he had the thing shut down like 5 degrees. And I'm thinking, and he's hitting it on the toe. And he's like, I can't understand why I'm hitting it on the toe. And I'm like, well, let's open that up because you're not getting any loft on your driver. And he looks at me and he goes, that's really open. And I looked at him and said, well, we got to open the door before we shut the door. Right. So we
There you
got
go.
him, we got him to hit the
There
ball.
you
He
go.
hit the next four balls in the air at, I think his, it went from 44 feet to 57 feet to 61 feet. And the guy
Okay.
was just tickled pink. That was 10 minutes into it. And for the rest of the 50 minutes, I just had to find something to kind of help him out with. But that was it.
See, again, all of our golf lessons should be 20 minutes long, T-Mac. We've had this discussion before. We
I
know.
agree with you.
We
I mean, I'm definitely getting to the point where the hour is getting a
Right?
little long. Like within 30 to 20 minutes, I've already got you solved. It's just now it's just let you
Is
kind of
it?
hit balls and talk to me.
I hope you take this the right way, T-Mac. We've known each other for at least 15 years, probably longer than that, because we knew each other in 2000 when I was there at Silverado the first time. Anyways, and when you were like going through your program and kind of a newer assistant, maybe 8 years ago, kind of 10 years ago type of thing, and then you started doing swing theory probably about 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
About
Does that
5 years
sound
ago
right?
now. Yeah, just about 5 years now.
Created your company. So it's funny, and I never said it to you, but because we talked about you coming down to my store and teaching down there, and trying to do some fitting and stuff, and I said to you, I'm like, well, so what's your comfort level for a golf lesson? And you said, oh, I like an hour, and I said, oh, okay, great. And I didn't say anything to you at that time. I swear, I did not. I just said, oh, here at the store, we got to do 30 minutes because we got to kind of not turn and burn them. It's not really the right term, but we just got to kind of get more people in. We can't, have an hour. And you said, and you did kind of give me a little bit of a look, and we talked. And you're like, I still really kind of feel comfortable with the hour. And I think it was a comfort level for you at the time. Does that make sense?
Oh,
And then
absolutely.
now, right? Now that you've really kind of dedicated your profession to teaching over the last 4 years, and you can see it so much quicker, right?
Yes.
You can see even TMAC, even the clinics that we and you used to do. It was me who started the whole clinic thing at Silverado, and I would bring you out there, and I could tell you were just like a little hesitant.
Yeah.
Please don't take this the wrong way. It's
No.
just you didn't have the 10,000 hours of time in your head, like
Correct.
the
Correct.
right?
Absolutely. I
And
didn't have the students. I didn't have,
yeah.
all that stuff going on. I was very new to it. And I think as a new instructor, to anybody that is a new instructor out there, you have that comfort level of having more time in case
Yeah, that's right.
You can kind of cover up a few mistakes, or you can kind of look at a few
Yep.
things, and you can kind of
Yep.
justify the time with the person, right? Because
Yep.
you're not
Yep.
as, not as a skilled instructor as others, right? And I
Yep.
think
Yep.
as you go through and you get more and more students and you just keep, getting your teeth cut, you just figure
Yep.
out, you start seeing a thousand things. And by the time I'm at where I'm at now, within 10, 15 minutes, the lesson's pretty much over. It's
It's
just,
over. It's over.
it's totally over. Now I'm just kind
Oh
of
my
letting you
gosh.
hit balls into the net and
Yep.
showing you some of your stats and just giving you praise.
So you know what I've it's so such a good point. Again, we'll get back to swing path in a second there, folks, I promise.
Yeah.
But it's such a good point because what I've started to do, and again, if they don't know, you kind of watch a lot of PGA, this is from the PGA of America kind of videos of how they kind of want us to be more of a coach.
Yeah.
They want us to be more of like an on-course instruction guy. That's great in the perfect world. I'm okay with that concept. If I was a teaching professional exclusively, yeah. But as a, assistant professional, teaching is only really during the season, probably going to be 5 to 7 hours of my time. I've got to work the other 40 to 50 hours a week. So, point being, like, I've really started to kind of get that in my head a little bit the last 2 weeks, really just the last 2 weeks. And people are open to it. But okay, I've got a 45-minute golf lesson. I just did this last week with two different people back to back. I said, and they're friends. I said, okay, I'm going to do Mrs. Smith from 10 to 10:15 for a golf lesson. And then Mrs. Jones is going to come in at 10:15, and Mrs. Smith and Mrs. Jones are going to play a half an hour of golf against each other.
Okay.
And then I'm gonna give Mrs. Jones a 15-minute golf lesson, and it's 60 minutes. We're all done. I still charge them the 45-minute rate because they both played for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
They loved it. They got what they needed to do in the 15 minutes of golf of the lesson part of the world.
Yes.
They got to play golf. They got to change it into like a virtual, target oriented. I wish we had the projector on the screen because I could actually have them do like the pre-shot routine. But
Yeah.
we did, and they're chipping a little bit, and it's just such a different kind of approach to the. So
Is that your indoor
you just,
studio there at the course of the
yeah,
TrackMan and
at, yeah, because again, we had the fire. We're still, the operation that we have is manageable as far as we only get the one hitting day, but it's not as beautiful as the downstairs was and will be
Gotcha.
back in another couple months here. So we're kind of, it's a little bit of like, and again, we've talked about this before too. One of our greatest strengths as PGA professionals is being flexible.
Yes.
There's no, right? So you have to like take what you have. Okay, I've got a pro shop with merchandise in it. Great. I'm going to move all the merchandise. We're going to erect a impromptu hitting net with a screen, put two TVs up there, use TrackMan, and still provide a great service to the membership.
Yes,
You know,
yes.
inside of a realistically a 15 feet wide by 20 foot deep room.
Yeah.
And they're thrilled. They're thrilled to have a place to go.
Yes. That's big.
I should take some video. I should have done this in the past month of the amount of lessons that you wouldn't have gotten out of your car, out of your house to go in your car, T-Mac. The number of lessons I've given when people have come up this walkway, it is snowing, it's raining, it's sleeting, it's 20 degrees out, it's windy. And they show up.
Yeah.
It's nighttime. It's 7 o'clock at night. They show up because they want to get better. And if
Yeah.
somebody wants to get better, I'm in,
That's
right?
dedication right there. That's
Yeah.
dedication. And also, you kind of brought up a great point when we were talking earlier that you've got to find different ways, especially in that environment, to work on your game, right? And, yeah. and be dedicated, yeah. right? It's a whole different yeah. thing than being down here in Florida where you can kind of, I'll get up and maybe I'll work on it today. It's 80 right. degrees out, yeah. But yeah. up there, you've really got to work on it. You got to be dedicated.
You got to figure it out because you can't, I'm sorry, the game is not set up to where you can put it away. You can't put it away for 4 months.
No.
And realistically think that you're going to be anything even close because you're going to spend the first month of the spring getting back to whatever the the 4 months ago was, let alone improving.
Yeah.
I think back to swing path, T-Mac, I think we've talked about sort of the setup is crucial.
Mm-hmm.
I like the term you use, and I use it all the time too, is hand path.
Yeah.
I think they get so caught up in what's the club doing, where's, and I always say, it's funny, I wish the club head was a different terminology than the club.
Yeah.
Because when we say the club, we don't mean the actual 36-inch object or 40-inch object. We typically mean the club face.
Yeah.
Right? Or the club head.
Yeah.
So that's what we're talking about. But then you got to the hand path, how your hands work back in the first part of your backswing super early, like you just said, super early. Like if you've got it offline early, it's only going to get worse on the backswing.
Yeah.
And the things that I see from TrackMan, from watching, I use Justin Thomas as one of my main guys.
Yeah.
To kind of watch how his hands work. If you can put the alignment stick on your feet, assuming you're setting up square, right? Let's just go with the square setup.
Yep.
And you put the alignment stick on your feet. And if you can have your hands work straight back on the stick, you are ahead of the game.
Yes.
Make sense? Right.
The train has left the station in a good position.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And that's what they do. Our golfers, they get it offline so quickly. It's not normal. If you started online, you probably get a pretty good chance of keeping it at least online. Or, we might have some different sort of, Raymond Floyd looking backswings or Lee Trevino looking backswings or whatever. But typically if it starts online, Adam Scott, Justin Thomas, Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, it's shockingly, these are the best ball strikers, right? The reason, Max Homa, there's a lot of good ball strikers to look at. Anyways, if you started online, you're probably going to be pretty good as far as figuring out the backswing. Now the downswing is a different sort of animal conversation, but we got to start it correctly to have a chance at the downswing being correct.
Well, the big thing I've seen, at least as far as the swing plane goes, is that you can see that now in today's age, everybody pretty much has basically the same swing. You don't see the John Daly's anymore or the Freddie Couples, right? And I think that has a lot to do with the TrackMan technology, understanding a lot more about the swing plane and how to get your hand on that correct path so you stay consistent. And that's the big thing, is that nowadays with all this technology that we have, you can see that, if I looked at, and I didn't know who Max Homa was, and you put it up against, let's say, Rory or something like this, I'd have a hard time distinguishing the backswing. Now, the downswing I would be able to notice, right? Because you'd see the squat and all that. But the backswing, they all get that hand right on that same line that you put down that shaft. And it's covering that line all the way through. But when we see our students, it's either inside that line or over that line. And then it's just a really bad start point.
Yep. I would say another thing, sitting at the desk, pick up your pen again.
Mm-hmm.
If your hands, right, if you watch the butt of the club, which is kind of essentially your back of your left hand where the left pinky is with the palm, if that doesn't go straight back, what we normally would see, like you're talking about, is if the person's going to take the club inside, meaning the club head is working behind their hands.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, the way you start that is that your hands go towards the golf ball the first 2 inches of the backswing.
Yep.
Right? They don't go down the line. They kind of go out away from your body, and that's kind of what flips the club itself, the head again, flips the club behind them, and they're already done. They're like 3 frames into it. They're already out in the wrong position.
Yeah. Yep.
So what you said, and I love that terminology too. And again, kind of a misunderstood terminology. If you watched again, the Justin Thomas, but if you watch the good player, their club head always stays a little bit outside of their hands. They never have it inside their hands.
Correct.
And that's why Trevino looks weird to us. And that's why Bubba Watson looks weird to us. Because it is the guy who kind of snatched it back a little inside, rerouted it on the downswing. And Bubba Watson never had a lesson, is what he said.
Yeah.
Right? Homemade golf swing. It looks like a homemade golf swing.
Yeah.
It's got more majors than I do. I get it, you know.
But I think some of our listeners out there and students need to understand that even players like us will look at some of that talent and they're going to scratch your head and go, what did they get up there that I didn't? And there's nothing
Right.
we can do. I mean, the Lee Trevinos, the Freddie Couples, the John Daly's, you know,
Yeah.
those are swings that you wouldn't change, but it wouldn't be taught today either, you know. But they were
Right.
just people that had a feel or a imagination that is just
Yeah.
something that's beyond what we have, and we've got to accept
Yeah.
that as human beings.
And also good, you know, good for them, meaning like Scottie Scheffler's teacher. Good for the teacher not to say, you can't move your right foot.
Yeah.
You have to do it this way.
Yeah.
Scotty, I give a lot of praise to his coach for
Yes.
that. He's had the same guy for like 20 years too, that he didn't change him. He just realized that that's a big part of what, because, you know, there's certain times when we work with people like, hey, sir, you can't move your left heel off the ground. It's got to stay down.
Yeah.
You know what? They may not have the flexibility. They just may not have it.
Correct.
So I had a, I don't have enough time for this story.
Yeah.
I had a member come to me 3 weeks ago, T-Mac, and he went to, I don't care. We're never going to get a golf tech sponsorship. I don't care. He went to Golf Tech, paid them $1,500,
Whew.
right? And all he could do was reverse pivot because the biggest thing that they were concerned about when he went in there was that his left knee on the backswing went so far towards his right knee that his left foot came up. So the way that they corrected it was they turned him into a reverse pivot golf swing.
Is that
They just made
basically
his
the
left knee.
stack and tilt? Is that basically
Yeah.
what that is?
Yeah. Basically, yeah. This is even a little worse than stack and tilt.
Okay.
But it, you know, it essentially, when you start your backswing, you immediately put pressure on your left foot, is what you do. And you never really get out to your right leg at all. And then guess what happened to him on the downswing? All he ever did was throw it the other way. And he was just hitting shanks or hitting it fat all day long. So I had to get, and he comes in, he's like, Sean, I went down to Florida. I couldn't not hit the golf ball. I didn't break 90. The only reason I shot even under, you know, 100 was I chipped and putted. I don't know what to do anymore. I paid Golf Tech $1,500, and he's a very successful guy.
Golf
Like, I paid Golf Tech
malpractice.
$1,500, and I don't know what to do. And I mean, again, T-Mac, not being arrogant at all. The first 5 minutes, I'm like, I said, how much do you want me to tell you? I need you to tell me everything. Are you sure? Because you're not going to like what I'm going to say about Golf Tech
Yeah.
and what they tried to teach you. And you know, good for him. Within 3 weeks, within four lessons, he's going to Florida tomorrow.
Okay.
He's back to hitting 8 iron 145. He's got a really good confidence level back in his game. And I just gave him the authority. I'm like, you got to move your weight off your left foot to your right foot to start the swing. I don't know how else do we do anything else athletically? You got to move.
I think you bring up a really good point right there, Sean, you know, about instructors is that a lot of people need the permission to do something. Like as soon
Yeah.
as they hear us say, "Oh, you're allowed to do that," they look at you like a 5-year-old, like
Yeah.
I can go outside in the yard now. You know,
Yeah.
it's amazing how much power we sway over these people when we say,
Yeah.
"Oh yeah, you can move your head that way or you can move your body
Right.
that way." And they just
Right.
it's like this whole sense of like this awe, you know,
Yeah.
it's amazing when we give people permission. They're like, "I can do
Yeah.
that," you know, instead of whatever they've heard on YouTube or Golf Tech or whatever, and they get bound in a box.
What's the number one swing tip a husband says to a wife playing golf when she's starting to play golf and she tops the ball?
I'm gonna go with the survey says, keep your eye on the ball.
Right, keep your head down, right?
Keep your head down.
Keep your head down. Keep your head down. It could be husband, wife, could be husband. I see a lot of father son with that. Right, young kid trying to play, and little Johnny, you know, misses the ball, and you know, grandfather, and grandfather is probably the worst one. I love grandfathers. You know what I'm saying? But
Oh, yeah.
grandfathers, do you, oh, you got to keep your head down. You got to keep your head still. Still or down are the two things that I least like when I hear that from people.
Yeah, the
Least like.
grandpa will tell you, "Hey, I got an instruction back in 1940, and they told me to keep
Yeah.
my head down." Yeah, I think
Exactly.
things have changed
Yeah.
since then, Gramps.
Yeah. Watch the ball. I'm telling you, I don't think I've seen a golf shot in 30 years. Like, I don't. It's never something I visually think about seeing. Seeing my, you know, make contact with the ball. It's not part of the world. Just not.
Yeah, the
It's not
big
part of
thing
the
is
world.
getting people to realize that their head rotates and moves with their
Yeah.
shoulder pattern and goes
Yeah.
through. You know,
Yeah.
the big thing is I will close my eyes in front of my student and then start hitting balls. And you're like, how'd you do that? The ball's
Yep.
not going to move. As long as I
Right.
stay on the same plane, I'm going to hit that ball. Now, it might not be
Yeah.
perfect, but I'm going to get
Yeah.
back to where I
Make
am.
contact. Make
Yes.
contact. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
I'm a big fan of practice putting when you're get your eyes closed for the same reason. If you're gonna stay still, you're not gonna. And now there is one for the record. There is one part of the game. Yeah, we got to keep our head still. I'm good with that because if we peak at all, chipping and putting, you got to keep your head still. I'm okay with
Yes.
that.
Finesse
But
shots.
well, we're not
Touch
trying to
shots.
hit it. So we're not trying to create power, right? That's the biggest difference. We're trying to keep the object, the club face, online. So yeah, we got to keep the, we got to keep the head square. Anyways, T Mac, I think as we. I don't think I want to do a disservice to the other part of the out to in or the swing path. I think we really should kind of like set up next week's lesson or next week's podcast as the second part of the swing path, because I think there's so much to talk about on follow through, downswing,
Yeah.
how you get to a proper setup. And I just think if we keep going today, we'll kind of overwhelm them. You know what I'm
Yeah.
saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So.
So the key takeaways for today for me for this, and I love kind of what you said too. I think it's get your proper setup, get yourself in the correct positions, feet, hips, shoulders,
Yeah.
grip, club face, not really sexy stuff, pretty
No.
boring.
Yeah.
Get the fundamentals down, get an alignment stick for me. I think the alignment stick's the best thing. Put it on your feet, right where your toes are. And just practice indoors or outdoors if you can.
Yeah.
Indoors and see, watch. That's why Justin Thomas watches his takeaway.
Yes.
See what the takeaway is. Look
Yeah.
at it. There's no right or wrong answer. I mean, there is a right or wrong answer, but whoever you are currently is who you are.
Yeah.
And then if you can get the first part correct, then I think next week we really can start talking about, okay, great. You've kind of got the club started. You kind of got to the top of your backswing. Now, what do you do?
Yeah, what's part B of the
Yep.
series, right? What do we
Right.
do next, right? But
Right.
I think we brought up some really good stuff, what our hands need to be doing, what our alignment and base needs to be, understanding the face, right? I think that's another
Yeah.
thing that we touched on quite a bit is that, when you look at that face, what old VP used to do to me is he would have me hold the club on the ground and then point it out straight in front of me and look at it.
Yeah,
And nine
yeah.
times out of 10, I will see that my club face is closed. So
Yep.
that's a great way to kind of check your face and make sure that that scoring line that you see, that little white scoring line at the bottom of your club,
Yep.
is straight up and down
Yeah.
when you point
You
it out
know
there.
what I gotta get? I just thinking as we're talking, it's such a good thing. Like I really gotta get that the little metal circular basically stick that we put on people's club faces. You know what I'm saying?
Oh
Like
yeah, the little
the one that the
magnetic thing. Yes.
magnet
Yes.
that is, it's such a good alignment visual to the people. 'Cause again, what we think is square and what is actually square at address, not even close. And I also think in a little side note, but I think it also does help as you're trying to explain driver to people and try to swing upwards, but also keep the face square, not working upwards, not adding loft. I think it's another good way. So
Yeah.
I'm probably, once I get off this call with you, I'm probably gonna go order one on Amazon somewhere.
Perfect, perfect.
Yeah, and once we get one in, I think there's a YouTube video for us to do right real quick right there.
Absolutely. I
Yeah.
guarantee you, throw that on somebody's wedge and see how close that is. You know, that's the big thing. So
100%.
So,
good stuff.
Hey, want to thank everybody for listening. If you guys have any questions or comments, please write them on in. If you found this podcast helpful or interesting, please think about liking or subscribing. And without further ado, Sean, any takeaways for today?
I think we're good. I think we covered a lot. This is kind of one they want to listen to a few times because there's a bunch of good information in there. So good talking as always, T-Mac, and we'll see you guys next week.